Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
This weekend, I want to take you into the second week of a message that we're calling 2020 Vision. And obviously, it's a play on 2020, but I want to really talk to you about how to have 2020 Vision. Please hear this from God for your life in a world that is completely out of focus. I don't care what you believe about God, what you believe about anything. It is impossible to live in this world and not accept and understand the utter chaos that exists in this culture and in this world. But you can have 2020 vision, and as importantly, so can your family, so can your children as they're raised in the middle of the crazy. How many of y'all know you can't fix crazy, but you don't have to join the party? Anybody has some crazy in the family tree? Yeah, you say, I don't have any crazy in my family tree. That's because you're the crazy. So anyway, that's usually how it works. So we have a defining question I want to ask you today. Do you know that you're made in the image of God? And as importantly, or more importantly, really, do you know how it reveals the love of God to you? Let me read you what the scripture says about your formation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says this. And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. When you look at mankind, man and woman together, it's in the expression of a male and the expression of a female that you'll see the full image of God. You'll hear people say, well, God's male. Well, He's referred to in Scripture as your Heavenly Father. But the reality of it is, if you're going to see the image of God, you can't just think in the masculine. God revealed His image in male and female. And I think He made Adam, and then when He made Eve, He said, I think I might improve on it just a little bit. And all the men that were smart sitting by their wives said, well, that was so stupid right there. I set you up, boy. That was like T-ball right there if you're married. And you should have said, baby, that's exactly. And I'm telling you, when I set you up like that in the future, take advantage of it if you're married. If you're dating, you already did it because you haven't gone stupid yet. But that's a marriage series. We're going to leave it right there. Here's what I want you to get. If you do not see the love of God revealed in the act of creating man, you're never, in fact, it will be impossible for you to see God's vision, His 2020 vision for your life. See, God didn't make man because He was bored. He didn't make man as He did the earth in this amazing, beautiful creation. The intricacies, the amazing diversity of every imaginable color and plant and species. He's a creating God. He had fun. But He said, He made all that. And then He said, but He made you in His image, in His likeness. Because He wanted to have an intimate relationship with man. And God could not have an intimate relationship with something that was not like Him. And because the Bible doesn't say God possesses love, it says that's who He is. God is love. Love compelled God to form you in His image and in His likeness. And until you understand that, you won't trust Him. That's why we start over and tell you over and over again, this church exists to help all people realize God loves them unconditionally. Because until you get that, you won't trust Him. The Bible tells us it's the goodness of God that leads men to repent and to turn their life around. You'll never accept direction from someone that you don't believe has your best interest at heart. Love always does what's in the best interest of another person. Love will lead you nowhere that God wouldn't lead you. So when you understand that about your formation in the image of God, and we're going to really go into some depth about this next week, it helps you understand how much God loves you. But here's what I found living in this world, that every one of us all need the corrective lenses of the image of God in our life. And you have to learn how to put those lenses on very, very intentionally. Because without seeing through the image of God in you, you will never be able to see in this world clearly, ever. When I was younger, I used to be able to see without these. I could see far away, I could see up close. I mean, it was, I never understood, you know, bifocals or reading glasses. Then one day I was looking at my computer and I thought, something's wrong with the screen. And then I realized that the screen was fine. And before long, I was bringing my notes out here and the font was that big. And I thought, well, maybe I should get a little help. And so I go to the optometrist and and he helps me, and he gives me glasses, and they're bifocals. So I see you and I see up close. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to see. But I'm also kind of like not good at going back to the optometrist because it's not something I ever did. And they send you a reminder within like 1 year, come on back. Well, I ignored it. And so they send it every month and I'm going on almost 2 years. And so he said, well, you need to go back to the optometrist. Okay, I know, okay, Michelle's not, yeah, okay, I got it. I need to go back and that's good, yeah. But here's the reality, I'm gonna sit in the chair. And I think I'm seeing you pretty clearly right now. I think when I look through the bifocal lens that it's just fine. But I'm gonna sit in that chair and they're gonna throw the lenses on. And I'm gonna find out I haven't really been seeing you as clearly as I thought I should or was. And they're gonna give me a new prescription and they're going to put new lenses in these glasses and I'm going to see more clearly both far and up close. And that's what I wanna help you to see what 20/20 vision from God actually looks like. It is so important that you understand there are simply two lenses that you can look through in life. Not five, not six, just two. And I want to talk to you today about the two kingdom lens option. These are kingdom lenses. There are only two kingdoms in the earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There are no other kingdoms. Yes, but I don't believe that. Yet that's because you've been deceived by the other kingdom. There are only two kingdoms. And don't wait to die to find out you were wrong. And I want you to understand that you are living in one of those two lenses every day of your life. The one lens blurs the image of God. The other lens is the image of God and it provides clarity. You know, when my kids were little, The Lion King came out, the animated cartoon or whatever they call it, animated movie. How many of you have seen the animated movie, The Lion King? How many of you have seen the one that just came out, but I didn't see it, but they like made the animals, I don't know how they did it, but it looked like they were real and they were talking. I haven't seen that. But The Lion King's almost a part of Americana, right? And so, but I watched it. It's a great movie. I have to tell you, out of all the Disney movies, I really enjoyed watching The Lion King, but not 619 times, which is what I did. So I began to actually raise my kids in Lion King voices. How many of your kids ever complain? I don't want to do that. It's not fair. How about it's not fair? Anybody ever heard the it's not fair speech? It's not fair. My wife, who is this wonderful, precious woman, well, let me explain to you why it's fair. What I would do is I would do Uncle Scar. Y'all know Uncle Scar? I would say, life's not fair. I'll never be king, but you'll never see the light of tomorrow. And my kids are like, that's not funny. I said, it's funny to me. I'm not interested in your humor right now. Life's not fair. You'll never be king. No, that's Uncle Scar. But here, you know the story, right? Simba, who is the Lion King's son, is used by his Uncle Scar to have his father actually murdered. And Simba thinks it's totally his fault. And he runs away from his identity. And he ends up living among a pig and a meerkat, I believe. Things he should have been eating. Oh, don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know lions would eat those things. And he's eating grubs and he's not acting like who he is. And finally, this monkey shows up, Rafiki. How many of y'all remember? You know Rafiki, right? And Simba doesn't know Rafiki knows who he is. And he looks at him and he says, Simba, you don't know who you are. But the truth of it is we have forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that somewhere in you, the scripture says something amazing that Christians truly have not embraced. That Christ abides in you. In fact, the scripture said that this way, Christ in you, your only hope of glory. Your identity is found in him. The image of God was formed in you when you received Christ. The image of God made in man was marred when Adam fell, and Christ restored that image in you. And it's so easy to forget who you are. It's so easy to put on the wrong lens and to live in the default lens of the world that we live in through our five physical senses, and it will utterly blur the image of God. So let me just take a moment and talk to you about the lens first that blurs God's image. The first thing you need to understand about that lens, it's spiritual, but it manifests in a natural world. It's of a kingdom that seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's exactly what Jesus said Satan's intent was. And Jesus said he came to undo the works of the enemy. Let me read you what the scripture says about this lens. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this age, small g, Satan, who is the god of this age, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The work of Satan in the life of every human being on planet Earth is to blind their minds so they cannot see Christ, who is the full image of God. The book of Hebrews says Jesus is the very image of God, the express image of his person, God in the flesh. And the work of the enemy is to come and to blind your mind and to put blinders on you so that only you can see life through the lens of your physical senses. What you've experienced, felt, tasted, touched, every emotion you've ever experienced defines how you see the life. Your worldview is defined by everything you've ever heard and seen only from this realm. And if that's how you live your life, you'll live totally blinded. I don't care how much you want to know God, how much you want to seek God, how much you wish to do his will. As long as that's the lens through which you see, your life will always be blurred. So the question we want to answer is, how do I take that lens off? How do I take the lens off that blurs the image of God? We see this in Romans 12. This is so important. He says, don't conform. Everyone say conform. Now remember, the word conform means to be squeezed into a mold. Don't accept the pressure. One translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't conform to the image, behaviors, and customs of this world. But let God transform you. Everyone say, let God transform you. So remember, your transformation is not a white knuckle, God, I'll grow. No, no, no. This is walking with God, and God does the transformation. Let God transform you into a new person by the renewing of your mind or changing the way you think. Now, when this happens, then you will learn what God's will is for you, or 2020 vision, which is both good, pleasing, and perfect. You have to make a choice as a Christian that you aren't going to let the worldview of the world define how you think. How you think about everything, how you think about marriage, how you think about money, how you think about relationships, how you think about your job, how you think about your health, how you think about your mind, the way you process your emotions, how you process sexuality. This world has an image for every one of those things. And let me explain to you, they're not kind of a little bit like God. They are the exact opposite of the image of God in you. And this comes on you by default by being born in this age. And that constant information, that constant pressure is coming to form the way you think. He said, the only way you are going to be able to know the full will of God is if your mind is renewed to the image of God in you. Not trying to fight every thought, but to understand who you really are. Because once you know who you are, you don't battle thoughts. I have never struggled with the fact of being Swedish. It's never crossed my mind. Never. And I'm fine. My son got me a DNA test for Christmas, and I'll find out who I really am in a little bit. But my kids, a couple of them did it, and they found out they were like 10% Arab. So I'm probably like 20% Arab. So I'll find out. I mean, you know, maybe have some Middle Eastern blood in me too. You know, a lot of Muslims came to Southern Italy and evidently liked Southern Italian women. But that's another story for another day. You have to choose not to conform. You have to choose it. How do I do that? Well, look at Ephesians 4:22. It says this, that you put off. How do I not have this image blur God's in my, that you put off, not that God puts off for you, that you put off concerning your former way of life, the old man. Say out loud, the old man. Now, when I was growing up, that was a derogatory term for your father. What's your old man up to? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the old man, the old you. Well, you need to define that. What does he mean by that? See, man is a triune or three-part being. He is made up of spirit, soul, or mind, and body. With your spirit, you contact God. With your soul or mind, you contact the realm of reason and thought. And with your body, you contact the earth. God is a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the way that people try to understand the Trinity is the same way that you can look at a human and understand you are three parts in one. You are made in the likeness and image of God. In fact, the Bible said it takes the very word of God to divide the soul and the spirit apart. So it's very difficult to understand I'm three in one. But you are. The part of you that is the old man, he's not talking about your body. When you give your life to Jesus, your body doesn't change. Your thoughts don't change. What changes is the inward man. Jesus said you are made in the likeness and image of God. And he said, and God is a spirit, and those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. You are made as a spirit being first. And when you die, this body stops, your spirit lives on. Your spirit, the Bible said, because of sin, was dead. Dead not meaning cessation of existence or life. Dead meaning eternal separation from God. Your old man was dead because of sin, eternally separated from God. So the Bible said, when you were yet dead in your sins and trespasses, Christ died for the ungodly. When you gave your life to Christ, something amazing happened. The Bible said you became a partaker of divine nature. God didn't just forgive your sins when you received Jesus. He made you a new creation, the scripture said, a new species of being that never before existed. You became born again in your inward man, which was dead because of sin, is now born again, alive unto God, partaker of divine nature. You are now in scripture called a child of God. In fact, you are actually identified in scripture as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Jesus calls you, calls me, his very own body. You are the body of Christ, members in particular. That's who you are. That's the image of God in man. He said, your old man, though, was separated from God. He said, you got to put off that old man and his ways. You got to understand there's a way of thinking that comes from the old man that you can no longer live if you're going to live outside of the image of this world. Listen to what he said now. That you put off the old man concerning the former way of life, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you have to put this off. God won't do it for you. And I'm going to give you a next step on how one of the simplest ways to do that. But what happens when we don't put it off as a Christian? It's obvious for someone that doesn't know God what happens. Ultimately, they die in darkness. But what happens when a Christian doesn't know how to put off the old man in the lens? What happens? In the scripture, there's a man called Lot. He was the nephew of the patriarch Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant is what brought Christ, if you will, to the earth. He's called the father of all of us. And Lot was connected to his uncle. And as a result, the blessing of Abraham fell on Lot. And Abraham became one of the wealthiest men that lived on planet earth. God blessed him. But because Lot was with him, he was blessed also. And because it was more of an agricultural life, and they had herds and sheep and all of the different kind of animals that would create wealth, the land could only support so much. And Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen began to have a conflict. Instead of Lot going to his herdsmen and saying, hey, guys, come here. Shut up! You say, what do you mean, shut up? Shut up! Shut up! These herds exist, and you have a job because of the blessing on that dude's life. Shut up! I don't care, just shut up. Oh, but instead, he saw himself equal to his uncle. And his uncle, when he came to a decision, and here's what Abraham said, Lot, look around you, and you pick whatever land you think is best. And whichever way you go, I'll take my group the opposite way. Because here's what Abraham knew. God told Abraham, everywhere you go, everywhere you put the sole of your foot, I'll bless it. Lot was looking out here thinking, where would be the best? So he looked toward a city called Sodom. And the Bible said he pitched his tent toward that city, ultimately moving into that city. Sodom and Gomorrah were two of the most dark, wicked, perverse cities in the history of man. They were twin cities. There was sexual brokenness and sin and perversion that was so extreme, it's almost hard to exaggerate it. And I don't have time to go into it. In fact, but next week, let me tell you, we're going to talk about sexuality in the image of God. I want you to see that sexuality is made to be an exact reflection of the image of God. And when you understand that, it'll clarify so many things for you. Because it is epidemic what this world is doing in the area of sexuality. It's epidemic. Heterosexual, homosexual issues, porn addictions. It's an onslaught of hell that you cannot exaggerate. But understanding the image of Christ in you, I'm telling you, it clarifies that. It takes the world's blur away and it makes you see clearly. And we'll talk about that issue next week. But I want you to see what happened to Lot when he, and the Bible calls him righteous, when he put himself into that environment. Listen to what happened. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible said, later God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, turning them into heaps of ashes, and he made an example out of what will happen to ungodly people. Ungodly people are just those living outside the image of God. And God delivered Lot, who was a just man, who was distressed by the ungodliness and wickedness around him. For that righteous man living among them was tormented in his mind by their lawless actions that he both saw and he heard day after day. You're going to have to make a decision as a child of God what environment you're going to place yourself in. You can't choose but to live in this world. And Lot actually did. He chose to stay in Sodom. And he tried to walk with God. And I don't have time. Next week, I'm going to give you a few of the things that he actually did that you won't imagine that a human could be so tortured in their mind that they would lose such reason and capacity to make normal choices in life. You'll look at it and go, how did he make that decision? Because his mind was tortured. The lens of the dark kingdom, if you will, that lens when it's on you is coming for one reason: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I want you to understand this. All forms, listen to what I'm saying, all forms of depression, anxiety, and fear come out of that lens. Now, I realize there are some chemical issues and regarding some of these things. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't get help. I'm not suggesting that counseling isn't a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you, if medication and counseling is only teaching you how to cope in the dark, it's not enough. There is a way to actually see it differently. And until the lens comes off and a new lens comes on, I don't care how hard you work, and you can be the most, diligent person with this, and you'll get better, but you'll never get free. Because you don't get free from the dark unless you get out of the dark, until a new image is formed in you. Because this image distorts God's image in us. I know this practically from living with someone who when Michelle was 8 years old, and she's told you the story, her dad abandoned their family, utterly abandoned them. From 8 to 18, she virtually never saw him. He abandoned them. One day, she's daddy's little girl. The next day, he's gone. The only way an 8-year-old little girl can interpret that, no matter what you tell them, it isn't your fault, that's fine. But here's the only thing an 8-year-old understands. I'm not even good enough for my own father. And something inside her was tortured and distressed by that wicked decision because it changed her image. And she didn't want to live that. When I met Michelle and married her, she weighed 89 pounds because she couldn't eat. She couldn't finish a meal. Her stomach was literally falling apart inside of her. Why? Because of this torture. It doesn't have to stay that way for you. She had no control over what image was formed in her, but oh, the mercy of God. That's why every one of us should be in a small group. Every one of us should be in a small group. A small group puts you in an environment where others will bring that image around you because you have 24/7 a world giving you the other. So how do I actually put the lens of the image of God on? Number two, here's what happens when you do. Your life gets transformed. It's a very important word. Your life gets transformed. I didn't say you work hard and you prove something to God and then you transform yourself. No. This is a work of God. There's so much power in being in the light. It by itself dispels darkness. You don't have to, when you turn the lights on, there's not a battle. Do you ever notice? Darkness doesn't stay in the room and go, no, and then it leaves. Remember this, darkness is only the absence of light. So just you have to learn how to put yourself intentionally in the light. Here's what happened. 2 Corinthians 3 tells us this. So all of us who have had that blinding veil removed can see. Remember, the God of this world wants to blind your mind. He said, for all of us who have had that veil removed, we have the capacity to see. We can reflect the glory of God as in a mirror and are being transformed into what? The same image, the image of God, from glory to glory, but by the Spirit of God, not by your own effort. Do you understand the transformation doesn't occur because of your hard work? It occurs because you willfully say, I will humble myself And I will see my life through the lens of how God sees me. So how do I put that lens on? Very, very purposefully. Let's go back to Ephesians 4 and show you one more verse. He said that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, that is his image, in true righteousness, true holiness. You have to put on the new man. How do you do that? One of the primary ways you do that, you come to church, hear the word of God, you have a devotional life every day, you get in a small group. Too busy for all those things. Yeah. Can I tell you something about the enemy of your soul? He's relentless. You might look, and I might look at my relationship with God as like a side thing, and when I get a chance, can I tell you the enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, he takes us very seriously. He's fine with you staying in the dark and not intentionally putting on the new man. What does he mean, put on the new man? Have your mind renewed to who the new man is. He said the new man was created in the image of God, born of the Spirit of God, in true righteousness and holiness that doesn't come from you, comes from him. And it begins to affect your life. And you begin to think differently. And when you see yourself as God sees you, it isn't just what you say in prayer, it's the way you think about yourself. It affects every decision that you make. It changes generations of the dark. I'm so grateful for what God did in my wife's life. I have two daughters who have never come near that image in their life because somebody said, it stops with me. When you're that person, there's a battle on your hands. But oh, how the generations after benefit from your choice, because they get to grow in the light. They still have to make a choice as they get older. But you are made this way. You begin to think differently. And when you go to prayer, let me close with this. Here's how most people have learned to pray. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need this. God, I need that. Then here's the other side. God, I'm sorry for this. God, I'm sorry for that. Lord, and then we mix it too. God, I'll stop that if you'll do this. And I promise God, I won't do this, this, and this, but Lord, I'll do that. And then it usually comes to this. Oh, God, just help me make it. I love you, amen. That's not prayer. That's groping in the dark. Can I show you what happens when you pray in the image of God? You humble yourself and you say, Father, I put off the old man and I put on the new man and I see myself. Wow, that's who I am. I've been made right with you through Christ. You mean I have righteousness? Righteousness as if sin never existed? You mean I can stand before you without the sense of guilt, inferiority, or weakness because I'm in Christ? I'm seated together with Christ? You mean I'm bone of your bone, flesh? Fear? Father, I thank you that fear has no dominion over me. I don't care how it came. I don't care if we're all championship warriors in my family. It starts with me because I am a child of God. I am born of God. I overcome the world. I am the head and not the tail, above only not beneath. I walk with God. I live with him. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And ain't no loves me not. He just loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me. He's my ever-present help in times of trouble. He opens the eyes of my understanding. These are all scriptures, except the loves me not part. He opens the eyes of my Father, thank you for opening my eyes that I can know the hope of my calling. Thank you for revealing Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Thank you for helping me to live in the light. Oh, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that today I'm seated together with Christ right now in heavenly places far above principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named. Not only in this world, but the world to come. And you have put all things under the feet of Christ, who is your body. Now, I got a question for you. Where do the feet reside? On top, from the head to the neck, or do the feet land in the body? It's not a trick question. In the body. You are the body of Christ. Where are the feet? In the body. Jesus said, all things are under my feet. So whose feet are they under? Your feet. Lord, help me to be delivered. That's an unscriptural prayer. He said, here's what he said. You have been delivered from the powers of darkness. So prayer isn't, oh, Lord, deliver me. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Oh, y'all pray I get delivered from this. Oh, Jesus, deliver me. Here's prayer. I humble myself. I see myself. I am delivered from that. I am delivered from that. I don't feel delivered. Shut up. I don't care what I feel. I don't live by that. I am who God says I am. I am free from that addiction. I'm free from an addiction to pornography. I'm free from an addiction. Whatever. I don't care what it is. So you mean you proclaim it before you feel it? That's called walking by faith. That's called humility. That's living in the image of God. You're called to live that way. That's who you are. That's who you are. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice, those here, those watching online, that we would first understand that we were literally created so that you could love us and we could love you back and we could have an incredible relationship with you. Father, I pray that those who know Christ in this room, that we would take very seriously that there are two kingdoms, one that desires to lift us, the other that crush us. And Lord, we have to desire, we have to choose to put off the old man and put on the new man. I pray that coming to church on weekends, putting you first in our week as your word declares and tells us to do, isn't an option for our families. That we don't throw our families in the dark hoping that they'll somehow figure out the light. It doesn't work that way. That we'll join ourselves into small groups so that we can have the image of God reflected from one another. That we'll make the steps so that we can put on intentionally. We have to choose to put it on. And when we do, you transform us. We don't transform ourselves. I pray that over every person in the wonderful name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are here this morning and you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Oh, this is so important. There really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And Jesus made it so clear that he died to pay the debt that you could not pay. Going to church doesn't make you right with God or a sacrament of a church, any church, including this church, only by receiving a Savior. Are you certain that you've done that today? Jesus only comes by invitation. Because you're made in the likeness and image of God, he gave you free choice. You can receive this wonderful free gift or you can reject Christ. That's not up to God. He made you in his likeness and his image. You can choose to receive his love or you can reject it. And I want to encourage you today, don't run from the one that loves you. And I pray that the God of this world that has blinded the minds of those which believe not, I pray that that every grasp upon your mind is broken right now in Jesus' name, so you can see the light of the glory of God, the very image of God in Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you would say, Pastor, would you please include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart, not religion, not turn over a new leaf, but to receive the living Christ who's conquered death and paid for my sin debt. If you desire to pray with me to receive Christ into your life and thereby receive new life, eternal life, I want to pray for you and I'll do it right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I can tell you this, I'm not going to ask you to stand or I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you. Because some people, what are they going to make me do? Nothing. This isn't about your heroics. It's about what God did for you, his heroics, and your willingness to humbly receive a Savior. So if you say, Pastor, I want to turn from my old life. I repent of that life. Father, I'm sorry for that life, but I thank you for your mercy. I want to receive Jesus into my heart, and I want to live for you all the days of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer, and I'll pray for you. In fact, the whole church will pray the prayer right where you're seated, out loud together with you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. Would you lift your hand up right now? Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Make sure there were hands everywhere. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. One last moment. Listen, you can see I'm not embarrassing anybody. Say, Pastor, I really do want to raise. I really do want Jesus in my life. Please include me in that prayer. One last moment. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. You didn't yet acknowledge you want Christ in your life. Lift your hand where I can see it. Do it right now. Do it right now. And I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this prayer. No, it's not some dead religious prayer. You're inviting the living Christ into a broken life. Listen, he turns no one away. No one, because he loves you. Oh, your life's about to change forever when you receive the one who died for you. Pray this where you hear it. We're going to pray it together with you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father. Now pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and my Lord. I turn from my old life. I receive new life in you today. I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do. Thank you for loving me. I am now a child of God. I am heaven bound when I die. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen, amen, amen. Give him a hand, would you? Best decision of your entire life. Would you stand together with me? Now, the service isn't over. We're going to worship just for a moment, and we're going to wait in the presence of God. Man, the Holy Spirit moved last night so wonderfully. This is like the fourth quarter, man. This is the part you want to stick around for. God wants to do something real by his presence in your life right now. So I want you to forget about everything, everybody around you. And I want you to begin to proclaim with our worship team that the God you serve is a way maker in your life, that he is the miracle worker. Let's just lift our voice and worship to him right now. Lift your hands as they lead us in worship. So we're just worshiping God. Similarly to last night, the Holy Spirit just rose up in my heart. He said, stop saying that. Stop agreeing with the dark. Stop saying that it can't change. Stop saying that I'm stuck. Stop saying that, is this all that there really is? I can't believe this is my life. Stop that. It's a lie. Doesn't mean the feelings aren't real. Doesn't mean that the sorrow isn't real. It doesn't mean that who did what to whom isn't real. It's not who you are. 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 That's what the dark has created, but it's not who you are. For God in his word says he is an ever-present help in your time of trouble. He wants to bring a revelation of who you are, so you can live in the power that comes from feeding on his word, and it will transform your life. There's no weapon, the scripture said, that's formed against you that can prosper, in the sense that your God is stronger than anything. Stop magnifying the things around you and saying that they have become your God. They are your lid. They are your finality. That's not who you are. You are not the worst thing you've done. You are not the worst thing that was done to you. You are not a person in financial distress. Financial distress is real, but that's not who you are. Here's what the Holy Spirit so strongly spoke to my heart. When you die and leave this earth, every problem of this earth will die with you. Don't let death be the thing that brings the escape to you. Live in life today. Live in the light today. Intentionally walk in the light as he is in the light. And he will bring you to places you can't imagine. He will change generations of sorrow. He will do through and in you the impossible. What may be impossible with men is simple to God. Impossibilities are practical to God. And you belong to him. You're his child. You're created in Christ Jesus for righteousness, to live in abundance and in power, and know that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that power is available to those who choose to believe it. These are all scriptures that God proclaims over your life. As an act of humility today, because that's what it requires. Faith is humility. It's mixed together. Is that I'm saying I won't exalt how I feel. I won't exalt the sorrow of my past. I won't exalt the difficulty of my situation. I won't ignore it, but I will not make it the Lord of my life. Lord, I take off and put off the old man and all that comes with him. I put off all the things that come from this age and this world in which I live. And I put on Christ and I humble myself. And as an act of surrender, if you would, lift your hands with me. And you begin to say, thank God for who you are. Don't let me do it for you. You begin to proclaim that you're a child of God, that you're born of God, that you belong to him, that nothing's impossible with your Father, that your Father has given you an inheritance, and His inheritance is abundant. There's nothing. All the promises of God for you as His child are yes and amen. That's who you are. You speak to the depression that comes, the anxiety, the fear, and say, I give you no place in my life. You will not be my Lord. I will live in the light. I will live in the light, and God will transform me. God will transform me. God will transform me. Father, I pray that over every person, that not one person will leave here trying to white knuckle their change, that somehow they'll do something to make you do something. Help us to understand, we simply respond to what you have already done in Jesus because you love us. And we walk by faith and say, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. Father, we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, I pray now that in this room, for people that have come, that they're trapped, that today that you move by your Spirit in such a way as that you bring in them a light and your presence, your manifest presence right now, that they would leave this place realizing that my God is not just for me. He's not just with me. He's not just in me. He's against the enemy of my soul. He loves me. He's a perfect Father. Oh, how good is my God. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him for His goodness. I thank you for your kindness. Great is our God. Great is our God. Great is our God. Oh my, it's so good to be in His presence, isn't it? You know, you can't get this online. You got to come in the presence of God together as God's people. There are things, I'm telling you, we have stepped into some things as a church where the presence of God, gifts of the Holy Spirit, He's wanting to do things in your life when you come to church and people that you bring. I'm telling you, man, this is going to be the greatest spiritual year of your life. The greatest spiritual year of your life. Just put on Christ. Put Him on. As we pray here in a moment, we're going to be dismissed. If you're ready to take a next step here at Victory, and I pray you are, and that simply means take a next step into the light. Put on Christ. We have something we call Starting Point. It's so easy to become a part of it. It's so easy. In fact, the easiest way to figure it out, we have something called a 10-minute party right to the right-hand side of the lobby here, my right, your left. You say, how long does it last?
10 minutes. Yeah, you go.
They'll just hang out with you. They'll bless you, talk to you, get to know you a little bit, tell you how to take some next steps so you can discover who you are in Christ. That's why this church exists, to take you on a process so that you can live the full life that Jesus died to provide for you. If we close in prayer here in a moment, the prayer partners will be coming forward to pray. And if you have any needs in your life, they're here available.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.